Welcome to the Two Moms and a Mic podcast,
now available on YouTube.
We are Briggs and Dodson,
two seasoned moms with a collective of 8 kids and an abundance of chaos.
We bust ass, fail often, and love fiercely.
We're queens with broken crowns.
Our intention is to create a community for moms and parents surviving the modern suburban world of raising teenagers.
We also intend to drink.
Join us for our raw episodes as we navigate stages of midlife while parenting multiple children and thriving with teenagers.
Actually, they're trying to kill us.
Raise your glasses and tune in. Cheers.
And good morning. Good morning. Oh, I love the laugh. We're starting off giggling on a positive note.
Because when you're behind the scenes is, why don't you shut the fuck up, kid? And you know, and then you go live, then you have to quick laugh that shit out.
I have to like switch gears like boom.
Oh my God. Yeah. One day I'm going to set it up where I'm going to give permission without giving permission to be like, okay, you can record what we say behind the scenes. Yeah. Maybe. Damn these kids.
We'll do a blooper reel one God. Of these days.
No. Yeah.
Good morning to a badass guest, though. That's my only intro, is that I'm just going to be like, badass friend is here. Wait, badass friend with a great laugh and awesome outfit is here. Hooray!
I know, well, I'm loving the hat.
Well, it's an old hat.
Yeah. It's a great one. It's What's the thing hat. On the side? Is that Prince? No. I don't know my logos and things.
No. No, actually, it's Vintage Trouble. It's a band called Vintage Trouble, so it's the VT.
I've heard of that band.
I've told you about that band.
Oh,
that's
well,
probably why.
Hey, I was listening.
I don't know Vintage
I'll
Trouble.
I'll be damned.
VintageTrouble.com. They're probably the best band you've never heard of.
Oh. Okay, like we need
name.
That.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
They're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing.
What
man.
Kind of music?
And, rock and blues and stuff. They're
good
really,
music.
Yeah. For the longest time, I was telling people, just buy the album. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, I'll just give you your money back. Like, I'll buy the album off of you.
Wow, that's a solid backing.
You know, I'll just buy it off of you.
Wow.
And I've never...
How many do you have?
I haven't put out a dime. I know, right? I haven't put out a dime.
Oh, good. That.
Either they're really nice, or I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Either way, you win. So, I really need my drink. So, can we... You intro yourself, because I don't do a good job of... explaining the gravity of other people, and then we'll toast
Okay, well, my name is Stevenson Roberts, and I'm a producer and musician, and I also DJ around the Chicago area under the guise of Dias Funk, and I'm a dad, too.
Dad first. You're,
I love it.
Because you're a good dad. You're the kind of dad that people
Yeah, that's kind of in reverse. I'm a dad.
So,
and then
but
there's
as far
always,
as the talent goes, do you put producer first? As far as music?
I'm putting producer first these days, you
Sounds
know,
good.
These days.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like, especially during COVID, I've been doing more of that. Than
yeah.
I'm working on some. Let's just
musician.
Say I'm working on some. My partner and I are working on some stuff. Let's just
good.
Put it that way.
Good.
So it's. Yeah.
Keep working. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. To continuing to work on shit during COVID.
Yeah.
Sorry, yours is plastic. You're going to have to go clink.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go.
All right.
Clink.
Cheers.
Clink. Clink.
Cheers
clink.
To all of you.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. Mine's nice and watered down. Perfect.
Oh, mine is not. I should
you want yours?
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
you love like half bourbon, half water.
Yeah. Is this one mine?
Yeah.
Is this one mine? Oh.
Pretty sure this is the one with, yeah.
Do you want my Sharpie?
Hmm?
You want my Sharpie, like red Solo cups, and put the names on them?
I think we're fine.
Yeah.
I think we're all right.
Okay.
I think we're all right.
All right. So, I mean, it is courageous conversation also. Mm-hmm. Part two. I don't know how many we're going to have, but it's become a thing that we want to do now because we feel like we have the right way to ask questions together for stuff we don't know in a very... Well, because we already speak about stuff that's raw to mothering.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we already have this honest way about us of being like, we do our best, but we don't know everything.
Okay.
So we've taken that into the courageous conversations to say...
Know very little.
Yeah. We don't
know
shit.
Little.
We're so lucky that we have people around us that do.
What is that line? Like, I don't know shit about fuck or what?
Yes,
yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's us. Yeah.
I'm going to say that to MK if she brings up a chase
I
thing
don't
again. I'm going to...
No,
but on her.
I don't
you
know
shit about don't fuck. Know shit about fuck.
Yeah.
Stop
right.
fighting,
okay.
teenagers.
Yeah. It was a line from the show Ozark. Did you watch Ozark?
Everyone's
no,
walking over. I know, it's
I'm
very...
Not, oh, are you not watching?
No,
hey, let's
well, it's
explore.
Not that... Not on purpose.
Just give me a reason.
I have shit to do.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those funny lines that this she just came out and said, I don't know shit about fuck.
Yikes.
And so it kind of stuck with people.
It's a good one.
And I like it.
Yeah.
Because I can relate.
Okay. So we know how we feel as kids that grew up with, I don't want to say rap music, but okay, we've already discussed the thing where children will listen to inappropriate, I'm using that term loosely, music if they want to. Like, there is no such thing as a parent keeping you from it, because kids will find
no,
a way.
No.
That's okay. That's a losing battle.
Right.
But I was listening to the first Eddie Murphy album before he had done anything.
George had me watch Raw the other night.
This was pre-Raw.
And then proceeded to like tell 11. Me that oh, she me made fun of like my made fun of me for how I watched it, because whatever. Okay.
Oh, that was one of my favorite. But
I just his saw it for the first time.
No, there was he had a solo album. But yeah. I think he was on SNL. Most people know the song. No, this is
before?
It's 81, 82.
So this is before album. He did movies and everything?
I don't know what came first, 48 Hours or the album.
Only point of reference is Beverly Hills Cop.
Which is way after.
Oh, see.
That's like near the end of the
80s. I don't know shit about already, fuck.
Because you figure because he did 48 Hours, right?
Yeah.
He did Trading Places. You've never seen Trading Places?
It's part of my charm. My ignorance works.
Yeah. No, Trading Places it's almost like something I look forward to watching Trading Places with Julian.
Oh.
That's what I mean. I mean, it's totally inappropriate right now. Mm-hmm. But eventually.
You better hurry up before it gets banned.
It won't get banned.
I was shocked that Raw was still there. George found it to watch.
Raw isn't banned. Why would Raw be banned?
Raw is delirious. Oh my God. My favorites.
Oh, I see what you mean. You mean like PC-ness.
Yes.
The PC-ness of it. Yes. Oh, well, yeah, that's never, yeah.
That was early 80s though. And you know what?
But The Sound of Music got in trouble today.
Why did The Sound of Music
I don't know. I can't keep up with shit.
Because everybody's finding problems with everything.
Here's the thing. There's always a flare-up. You know, we're talking about flare-ups with the COVID thing. There's always a flare-up. And PC.
Like an emotional hemorrhoid?
Or like a PC hemorrhoid. It's like one of those things where something comes up that's bad and it's obvious it's bad.
Yeah.
And then when that thing comes up, then you have to find everything else that's similar. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes think that people who are just butthurt about that one thing being so bad are like, well, what about this? Well, what about this?
And so
I
feel like that's a little bit of a hijacking of the noble.
And then it calms down. That's what I mean. I think everyone's going to get really angry about it for a while. I mean, it took forever for them to put the quote unquote ban on Song of the South as far as the Disney film.
The Disney, right.
It took forever to get that banned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so let's put it in perspective. Like, there's Sound of Music and there's Song of the South. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a huge gap between what's horrible for people to watch, you know? So let's calm down. I mean, I get it, but let's calm down. There's, I don't know.
I think everybody needs to calm the fuck down in general. Everybody I don't have down. Enough time to look at any of that to even know what.
Because at the end of the day, it's how you raise. We're still looking because everyone's worried about their children. Everyone's worried about how their children are going to be affected. If you're worrying about how your children are going to be affected, then parent. Don't worry about the industry. Don't worry about the first thing you worry about is parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand when that became the third or fourth priority. And the first priority is get that thing banned. The second priority is get that person fired. The third all this stuff existed when I was younger.
Parented me. That's the point, right? Because the thing where you can have an impact is in parenting.
Right. You don't have control over getting songs banned. But
I'm like, how long have you been on the road doing all these talk shows and doing all these interviews and all that when you could have been at home parenting, telling your kid not to watch that shit?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. It's like, why don't you calm down? If you don't want them to watch it, don't have them watch it.
Or if they do it behind your back, then how they should respond to it or how they should handle it.
Okay,
but you have the conversation first.
Right.
You don't come at them. And also, you also can't come at them like, you better never do that. Talk to them about it. Like, hey, this is why you don't do this.
Right.
These are the reasons.
Well, if you come at them like that, then they're going to be like, all the more reason to go at it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a difference between like, because you telling them not to do it in a decent way, mm-hmm. in a proper way, is going to make it tempting.
Of course.
Like, oh, okay, mom.
And I'm out.
Supposed to do it.
Exactly.
But if you're like, don't you ever, because well, I'll show you, I'm going to go do it. You know, yep. It's so.
Yep. I do both. I'm a mixed bag because there's so many children.
I understand.
So when it comes to that approach with music, right? So no. Corey and I have talked about this before where we both said that we give them freedom in music. You were raised being free to listen to what you wanted to. I was not. I mean, I had to like sneak the bootlegs
more than you.
Situation. Yeah. But we've both already had an episode where we've talked about how we know that it's an illusion that you control, that you can control what your children listen to.
Right.
So we just give them freedom to listen to stuff,
right.
Which has turned into for both of our, well, all of your teens, only my oldest is into the rap music. But
right.
She's into, we've been in the car and her
no,
friends
are
like,
are.
Can you, they're like, don't give MK the aux cord because her stuff is too heavy and too whatever they
right,
say.
Right.
So I'm letting her listen to this music, but now,
right.
I mean, I'm already, just the whole like pussy bitch thing. I'm like, ugh.
That's nothing new, Dad.
No, I know, but this was the thing the other day.
No.
The other day, the Eminem, like his breakthrough, that album with the, oh, Without Me, the song that everybody knew.
Mm-hmm.
She had it on her playlist and she's playing. I'm like, oh, turn that all the way up. I remember how much I love this. So I'm singing every line. And then there's that part where it's like, you know, come on her tits, some on her lips. I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
And she's like, Mom, hypocrite. I'm like, fuck.
Well, yeah, but we'll always be hypocrites. But we're hypocrites in so many ways on so many things because we've all done it. That's
well,
the thing.
Yes,
we did it when
I
we were younger.
But I have been on her shit. About not playing the N word in front of the little girls.
Right.
MK knows how to sing an entire song and just completely stop moving her mouth when she's not supposed to say a word.
Of course.
And good for her. Mm-hmm. Those are skills. 10-year-old Frankie is going to fuck that up. Don't play it in front of her.
Yeah.
Right.
This is why it's called a courageous conversation because
right.
it is uncomfortable as shit.
It is.
To teach your children to be free in their music. And please don't do that. But then, okay, because it's an issue of respect, you want to come at it with this like massive amount of gravity, right? Like it's critical that you don't do this. But then you want to try to have this respectful conversation. Like this is a line that's really hard to walk.
All right. It is. This is a lot of, there's a lot there.
Yes.
But the bottom line, here's the thing. You have two camps within the Black community in... To be specific, within the rap community, within the rap and hip-hop community.
In the musicians?
Right.
Okay.
I mean, and this is like from the dawn of time, all right? This is from the very beginning. And that was people who use the N-word and people who don't use the N-word, okay? And they're of two minds. And I've always been respectful of both. Because one, the people who don't use it, and I'm in that camp, who would prefer that you don't. Even as a Black person.
Wait, sorry, give me the teeniest pause.
Sure.
Are you saying, when you say use it, the two camps, are you being specific to in music production or in life?
No, I'm talking about, well, this, it flows into it, but I'm talking about the origins. I'm talking about, like, you have Black people who use it and Black people who don't.
He's talking about Will Smith versus Eazy-E.
Right.
But the origin being music?
Right.
Okay.
I swear it'll work. Let me keep going. I swear it'll make sense.
I missed
so
our
40-minute
playground dialogues where I just have to learn to shut the hell up and listen. I'm listening.
So it's not too hard to explain the one camp, which I'm in, is like, well, just don't use it. It's a horrible word. Legend has it. The word exists because you had a bunch of ignorant white people who couldn't pronounce Niger. And there's no reason to use it. Then you have the camp that looks at it as we have usurped the word. The word is now ours. You created this word out of hate. We are now using it to empower ourselves.
Hmm.
And there are different avenues in that, and it usually depends on age. So older rappers will be in one camp about that. Younger rappers will be in another camp about that. But it's from the same origin point of, okay, now we're using it as a source of our power.
Right,
or as a means to embarrass you. Like, we can use this word, you can't. And we're going to use it to make money off of you. We're going to you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And your kids are going to want to sing this, and you're going to have to deal with it. Like, you're here right now, having a conversation, dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are camps, they want you to feel uncomfortable. because they look at it like your ancestors made us horribly uncomfortable, to say the least. So the least we can do is have you be uncomfortable when your kids. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's where it kind of comes full circle.
Well, that's really interesting. Okay.
I like the way you just described that. I don't understand that explanation or that background.
Well, it's not anything that I would ever feel comfortable asking in a regular setting. By the way, excuse me.
Why do you say that? Yeah. Well, you know, again, but you can find, I've seen many interviews with many rappers. Like, and I'm not talking about just like, I know there's an interview with Dr. Dre. I know there's an interview with Snoop Dogg. I know there's an interview with Ice Cube. I know there's an interview with Ice-T where they're all asked by the interviewers, like, hey, why do you use this word in your... Oh, in your
have you seen those?
You can find them.
I've seen a lot of them. There are them. For sure.
I mean, so they...
Well, I'll find them. I just haven't...
So everyone has their own take. And that's why I said I don't want to speak for any one person, but the end game is always, it's our word now. This is what you called us. This is how I'm going to describe us as you see us making this money, as you see us thriving, as you see us overtaking this part of the industry, as you see your children and your kin embracing this music.
Now, the people that like are supporting that music.
When you say supporting.
Financially. Okay. Buying, downloading, going to the concerts, everything. Okay. So now, if you are a white person, like you need to, you can't sing every lyric.
Well, you have to edit. Right. You get to enjoy and edit yourself.
Right. But I don't know if that's a white thing. I mean, obviously I see why it's a white thing, but it's like I have to edit it. You know, I had to edit in my household, you know, and so it's because it was not said. You know, it's like,
Okay, so.
So, and that's what I mean. It depends.
So with your dad hat on, so you choose in your own music, you've chosen your camp as a musician. So in your dad hat, what do you do at home? So like, I don't know what music.
Yeah, I haven't had to go there yet, but.
I'm sure he listens to all of the classical amazing music and because he's brilliant and in the arts.
Right. I mean, he listens to a bunch of different things and he definitely is open to his friends introducing him to things.
How old is he?
11.
Okay.
I mean, we've had the questions. I've had to have some very powerful conversations with him that I did not plan on having at age 11. I don't know if there ever was going to be a right time to have it. And I don't know if there was ever going to be the best environment to have it.
Yeah.
As far as in the country.
Mm-hmm. But I had these as of late? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, the whole George Floyd thing and Black Lives Matter and that stuff was disturbing him. But he's very inquisitive. I'm not trying to put all of his business out there, but he wants to figure stuff out.
Yeah, he's a bright kid.
And so he looks into things. And so he's seen other things on the other side that would paint a different picture as to why Black Lives Matter exists and why these riots happen. And having these people labeled as terrorists and having these, and he asked me why Black Lives Matter would be terrorists, right? But the Klan wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't they labeled as terrorists? And if they've been around so much longer, how come there hasn't been this uprising of people against that? You know, everyone's talking about how, I see it all the time. I mean, I see people posting stuff about them being instigators and sowing lines of division. And they're very quick to put that terrorist stamp on Black Lives Matter.
Hmm.
And the hypocrisy of that is the fact that you've had a terrorist organization in your country, but you didn't care because they weren't after you.
So he's asking you the big stuff.
Because it doesn't make any sense. That's the thing. It doesn't make any sense. I feel like everyone's looking at this from individual problems that stem from a very common thing. It's like you're saying, well, if I drink this bourbon, I'm not going to be as tipsy or as hungover. And if I drink this other bourbon, I am, and I might get pulled over for a DUI, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking about the different alcohol levels in these different drinks. Or you can just not drink and drive. There's a very simple answer There's a very simple space to start from.
Oh, I see. Everyone's talking about, are trying to find wiggle room to support their own.
Exactly. And so like George Floyd's a perfect example.
Thank you for using a bourbon example. You got me right back there. I'm with you.
The whole George Floyd thing is a perfect example because people are trying to look into, it's like, well, you know, he had a crime sheet. He did this. He had this in his past. How do we know that the cops didn't feel threatened? We're talking about all these different things. But we don't start from the base thing. Let's take all that into consideration. Let's say he was a threat. Let's say he had committed a crime. Let's say he had a sheet as long as his arm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Let's say he killed 100 people. All right? He needs to be arrested and brought in to sit in front of a jury of his peers and be brought to justice then.
Well, this is the thing you brought up when we were discussing it before.
Why was he killed then? Mm-hmm. It's like, why? You're not supposed to do any harm. You're supposed to protect the people, right? And this person was, they even said, they arrested him for allegedly, for counterfeiting. I think that's what it was. Yeah. I think it was counterfeiting. Alleged. They didn't know. They weren't sure. That's not their job. They'll even tell you that's not their job.
Well, and they didn't know if he knew.
Exactly. You don't know.
Yeah.
So he should be arrested. I mean, if it wasn't a violent crime, like why is your knee on his neck anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't he just in cuffs in the back of the car? I don't understand that.
MK can answer it for you.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying that these are the questions that should be asked, not his crime sheet, not what those cops went through, not what was going through those cops' minds. No, the facts, the law. Is where we should always start, the facts. And that's not where we start either side.
Okay.
And if you start from the facts, if you start from the law, no matter what you're talking about, then you start shutting people up. Because then you start picking out who you know is full of shit. And then you know, it's like, oh, okay, so you don't even care. You're just trying to save your own skin.
Well, two things. All right, one, I love that when I'm with you, I can just listen and you do the talk. But
I know I'm like,
you're bringing me back to the whole like school pickup where I start to talk and I'm like, oh wait, it's not my time.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to take over.
No. I'm happy that you're doing that. And I want you to keep doing that.
Okay.
But when you talk about, okay, because I'm picking up on these themes here where you're saying like people who are full of shit or not paying attention to the law or not raising your kids with respect.
Right.
So tying those things in together, given the current climate that we're in, because we could talk about historically how we would have handled this as parents of teens listening to music where they need to edit themselves, right?
Right.
But do you see that as being different now? Because there is so much of this, like, here was this thing that we have to focus on, right? And people are losing their focus.
Right.
So we've got this giant mess of a... Everything is very confusing, right? It's hard to keep focused because there's so much information and emotion swirling all over the place.
Everything's heightened.
Everyone's
emotions are heightened.
Well, and almost more like the negative emotions are being heightened, right? Because everybody's having their own like hurt that's being...
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If we were to try and tease things out currently, where does that land with white children in today's society, which is already like so, you know, race is the thing now, right?
Right.
So,
but it shouldn't. It should be the law.
I'm just pointing that from the teenage brain, though. Right. Now, everything. They're teenagers. So.
Okay.
Okay. So we're trying to give this space for the teens to figure things out for them because. This is their time.
I got to push back. I'm sorry.
You're gonna push back.
I got to push back for a minute because this goes back to what I was saying earlier. The main pushback from them is it makes no sense to them. What we've done. No, the whole race thing makes no sense to them. When I talk to my son and his friends, when I listen to them bringing it up, given they're younger, I know they're not teenagers, they don't get it.
Mm-hmm. But that's
they don't
the beauty
understand
of the children.
Why it's been good. But that's irrelevant. The reason why, I think we can't call our kids smart. We can't say they're bringing all this stuff. Well, they do all that math. I don't even understand. I'm not even going to try to help them with their homework. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to stuff like race and what's right and what's the law, we're like, well, they don't know. They're children. They don't understand yet. They're crazy. But no, no, they're not. We are teaching them what's right and wrong when they're very young. And all of a sudden, they see this bullshit and everyone's trying to explain it away and they don't understand it. They might not be able to express it properly. I'll give you that. They might act the fool and try to pull some shit with you as a parent. I'll give you that too. But the basis of their anger and their annoyance is because we taught them what the law is and what right and wrong is. And we're giving them all this I don't see color bullshit when they're growing up. And then before they were busy on their phones and they're busy with their friends and they were going out to coffee shop and they're going out, they're trying to stay as far away from us as possible. And now they're stuck in a house watching what's going on in the world with us. The real thing is we're stuck in our houses watching the truth of what's happening. And we're not explaining the truth.
Today's show is brought to you by Ebby, a seamless underwear membership co-founded by actress and entrepreneur Sofia Vergara.
Ebby is a flawless, seamless underwear brand for women to lead empowered lives in. Unleash your power and lift up other women in undies you'll be obsessed with.
The idea of an underwear membership keeps your underwear drawer fresh and helps fund cyclical microfinance loans for women around the world.
Underwear is essential. Women empowering each other is essential. We see undies and empowerment as the ultimate pair.
Ebby's are effortless and smooth. Their no-slip grip keeps everything in place, prevents slipping down or riding up. No panty lines ever. Seamless panties that form to your body like a second skin.
Cotton lining to keep your lady parts healthy. Body glorifying fits and styles and sizes extra small to 4X.
By joining Ebby, you will have access to exclusive members-only offers, free shipping, limited edition prints, and weekly power tips on confidence, getting shit done, and living your best life.
When you choose to join Ebby, you get to wear the absolute best while empowering women out of poverty and into business. How badass is that? With a loan as small as $90, a woman can transform her life, lift her family out of poverty, and build a stronger community. When she pays her loan back, the loan becomes available for another woman.
We are fiercely committed to positive impact on repeat. So get your butt in here and join our membership or shop Ebby Seamless Panties now at joinebby.com with our special 20% off promo code MOMS20. Again, that is joinebby, joinebby.com, promo code MOMS20 for 20% off your first order.
This Two Moms and a Mic episode is also sponsored by Usual Wines. Usual Wines is a practical and healthier concept for the modern wine drinker. Each individual bottle is 6.3 ounces, a heavy pour, or about a glass and a half of your favorite wine. No more pouring wine down the drain when you don't finish the bottle, because the single-serve format and bottle design, Usual Wines are always fresh. No more flat bubbly or stale rosé. Usual Wines are made from world-class AVA's American viticultural areas in California, such as Napa Valley and Sonoma. They are made with minimal intervention, zero sugar, and zero additives. They are all low carb and actually have 0 grams of sugar. Did you know that in the U.S. there are over 60 additives allowed by law to be used in winemaking? Usual doesn't use any chemical or sugar additives to enhance the flavors or stability of their wine. They are truly a clean wine brand. And best of all, their flavors are not compromised. Usual Wines has an amazing red blend, a rosé, and a sparkling white wine. They also have a limited production of Brut Rosé just for summer. I just received my first shipment of Usual Wines. I chose the mixed pack so that I could try all of them. I could not believe how fast my shipment arrived just 2 days after my online order. I was so pleasantly surprised by the exceptional taste of these wines. I have to admit, I predicted that the taste would be a bit compromised with the zero sugar and zero additives, but I was so wrong. The red blend was the perfect balance of fruit, age, and oak. The rosé was a delicious, crisp flavor with hints of strawberry, rose petal, and rhubarb. Who would not want to enjoy a delicious glass of wine knowing it is much a healthier option for you? Go check out their website at www.usualwines.com and use our special promo code
2MOMS in all caps for $8 off your first order and try your first glass on us.
We're not having problems explaining the truth to our kids. We're having problems explaining the bullshit. We're having problems explaining why those cops aren't being held accountable. We're having to explain to them why that person was killed, for why the person who was accused of counterfeiting was killed, but the white dude that walked into a church and shot all those parishioners was brought out in cuffs and fed before being brought into the jail. We have to explain that to them, okay? And we're getting flustered over that, and because we should be telling them, actually, that's bullshit. I don't know why they were allowed to do that. I don't know why. And that's what the argument is. If we're honest with them and say, I don't know. I think it's bullshit too. I don't think they should be doing that stuff. But we need to stay calm in our own house.
Well,
we need not to take it out on each other.
Everybody's house is its own specific climate, though, because everyone, right. The personalities of these children, obviously, they are all reacting based on their own personality.
Obviously. And yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
In our house, MK knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So my job has become taking her ultimatums and generalizations and challenging her to find the zone of gray and human quality and right. all of these other things, because she's just firing off definitive statements. We actually, I was going to tell you, I had our first conversation where she let me talk.
Oh, she did.
She let me talk.
That's new. Yeah.
It's never happened
You've
before.
You've got a word in?
Yes.
Wow.
She's just,
that's
she's
a win.
In my
oh,
ear.
She's in your ear, yeah.
And she's like, and I'm like, I don't do generalizations. And she's like, oh my God, you're blah, 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 blah. I'm a crier and a peer and a barfer, but I don't ever do those things just to try to get my point across. That's just, so I start to cry because I'm like, I just want to grow through this with you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to hide it though, because I don't use that to manipulate. She's like, oh my God, you're crying. I'm like, you know what? I just want to be able to have a conversation with you rather than having you scream at me,
right.
your view only. And if I don't adopt yours, then I'm wrong. So we had our first actual conversation.
Hey, there you go. There you go. No, that's truth to that. That's clinkable.
It was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Because yep. now she can at least respect me enough that I want to talk about things and grow together. But I'm constantly like, can you put that in your journal? Because there's three other little girls here that I'm trying to teach about things. And you're over here screaming at me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue. But again, and I'm not arguing with that at all. And you're absolutely right. But that doesn't negate what I said, though, that the origin point is how we parented our kids.
No, I was trying to reinforce your point.
Right, right. So it's hard to get over that because right now they're going through puberty. They're going through all that. They're trying to figure out themselves. They're trying to be their own person in the midst of dealing with that bullshit, with that thing that makes no sense to them.
They need all the extra grace and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They do. It sucks to be a kid right now.
The way my son has stepped up at moments has blown my mind because we have no point of reference.
None
of us have gone through this when we were children.
No.
This has never been gone through.
I know.
None of us lived in this 1917, you know? Yeah. We weren't alive.
Okay.
So we have no reference.
The 80s was the best generation so far. Seriously. Like, if you think about it, other generations were, their 18-year-olds were going off to war. There was depression. There was the Great Depression. There was
Civil Rights Movement. Now.
There was No. No, that's why I'm saying the 80s was good. Like, we didn't really have anything going on in the 80s. So now it's bad again.
It was, okay. I think we had a lot of other things to distract us. I think there was plenty of shit going on in the
80s. Of course, I'm not saying it didn't exist. I'm just saying that it was...
We had MTV.
Yeah, right.
We had...
Thank God we had MTV.
We had Miami Vice.
Yeah.
We had...
Dallas.
We had... Oh, wow, Dallas.
Okay.
Deep cut. Yeah.
Deep cut.
It is Dallas. I was like, wow, who shot JR? Like that, you know.
Who did shoot JR? Do we know?
No.
Do they ever decide?
You know
is it on the TV Inquirer archive somewhere?
I'm trying to remember.
I didn't give a shit who shot JR.
Thank you. I'm trying to remember giving a shit, and I really didn't.
I remember my parents being like, who shot JR? Like, I don't know. I'm going to go play with my Cabbage Patch Kids.
You are my favorite. Stevenson, you have to talk to me about the music thing, though. You have to.
The rap music. That is what, like,
we're still talking about that.
Well, what do you want to,
Kids are very heavily into rap music. Okay.
He's I answered that. What do you want?
No, but I mean, I don't know what you,
This is actually a bigger topic than you think for us. Okay, for example, I'm sitting in my car.
Right.
I have my 16-year-old son.
Right.
He's listening to some shit that I can't even, I'm like, what?
Right.
And we have one of the Lils. We have the windows down.
Right.
And we're at a stoplight. Right. And he has that shit on full blast. And I'm like.
Because Spotify doesn't take out that word. Nobody
doesn't take it out. You can only set it to not play explicit or to play explicit.
It's not explicit.
What do you mean it's not explicit?
When the clean setting just takes out the swear words, right?
I don't know. I don't listen to Spotify. What I will tell you, though, is that one of the big, huge differences between when we were kids, when I was a kid listening to rap music, I didn't have XM radio. I didn't have Hip Hop Nation. I listened to the Chicago radio stations that edited out all of that stuff.
Right.
So, I thought when I first heard Dr. Dre, the Chronic album, I was like,
the actual?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, in love. It was one of my favorite albums of 1993. Absolutely, hands down. Because I was listening to it on hip hop stations in Chicago. Right. And then I went and bought the CD.
Which was explicit.
So I put the CD on and I'm like,
There's that.
But you know what though? I liked that version even more.
Because there's the rebellion piece though.
But then you have this white
you
girl
aren't allowed to say
riding
that.
Around listening to Dr. Dre, doesn't give two shits of a thing in the world. Driving around when I was a senior in high school, listening to that shit, singing every single word because we did.
I'll get on MK about even playing it. And then I get the whole bullshit of everybody plays this.
I know.
Oh my God.
So I'm sitting in my car with my teen. I don't want to be hypocritical because the stuff I used to listen to back in the day, I mean, I used to love some of the rap.
That goes to the question as far as what you did. Did you drive around with that CD in your car, blasting it with the windows open?
Heck yeah, I did. You don't have the same perspective as a parent. Here's one of the huge differences, Stevenson. Hold on. Let me ask this one question because this is something that I ask my kids. I would have never put that CD on in front of my mother. My kids would have no problem putting that shit on in front of me.
Right.
That's a huge difference. I do not like that as a mom, watching my kids listen to that and we're blaring it. When I was 17, I didn't give a shit.
I didn't play it in front of my mother either.
My mom would have fallen over.
Same.
She would have heard that.
Same. I don't think you're going to like my answer.
Okay.
I'm just going to be honest.
It's okay. This is why we're doing.
Let me take a sip first. Okay. Just being honest.
I'm scared.
I was younger than 10. I don't know how much younger. That area just... I explained to my uncle this story I remember. He goes, oh, no, that happened when you were 5. I'm like, oh, all right, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
or I don't know. You know, I thought I was 10. I don't know. So between 1 to 10, I have no idea where it happened in that. But I do remember my uncles, some older uncles, so not my mother's brothers, some older uncles, were arguing about some stuff and someone said the N-word. Mm. And it kept repeating itself. And my grandmother took me away and took me to the side and sat me down and said, you have to remember not to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
You never use that word. That is a horrible word to use.
Was that the first time you heard it?
That was the lesson. I don't know.
Oh.
I just remember the conversation.
Okay.
I don't think I knew what it meant that young.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I just knew that a bunch of people were saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't think when Julian was 5, he knew what fuck meant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he did.
Right.
But I mean, he didn't hear it from me, but
although
he heard it.
When you're using it in the context, though, you probably associate it with negative feelings or emotions or fighting or, right? No?
Well, maybe. I don't know. It depends. Like I said, but I still think that at its core, they don't know the word. So if you never had, I just don't think that white families ever had a conversation with their kids when they were younger saying, hey, there are words we don't use. Not in a reprimanding voice or tone, but just having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, there's stuff you don't do. Like, they have the drug conversation. Mm-hmm. They have the alcohol conversation. But they don't have, it's not even a matter of having the race conversation in its entirety. But I know moms who've had the bitch and whore kind of thing, all of the things that demean women. Mm-hmm. They've had those conversations with their children. They haven't had the N-word conversation. Then you have 13, 14, 15, 16 years. And most likely when you were younger, you know, when you were a younger mom or younger dad and you're playing your old NWA album, you know, in the background while you're setting up a stroller or doing whatever, you know, because the kids, but they're hearing the words, even though, they don't, like you said, like they don't know it in context. They just like they didn't know the word though. Mm-hmm. So they've been around the word, just like we were around the word when we were younger. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we know how we feel about it. We know how we look at it, and we apply it to the song as art. You know, we look at the song as a form of art, and we know why it's there in the song. If we don't teach that to the kids ahead of time, that word and what it meant, then we have to teach that word, and then we have to teach how it applies to the art. Just like one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite guilty pleasures is Superfly. But I don't go around reciting all my favorite lines from that film. Because there's a lot of stuff you just don't say, right? And you definitely don't have it blaring out of your car or blaring out of your house. Like, I think we don't even think about that. Mm-hmm. We don't even think about that when it comes to movie. But music's just art. But it's the only art form that we really don't want to censor. Like, that's art, blah, blah, blah. No, they should be able to express themselves and what have you. And we're so about not censoring the art, but we also don't explain it. Like, we explain movies. We explain, like, this happened during a certain time period. This was a certain thinking of the time. We explain these things. Even when we go to museums, when you go to exhibits, when you go to, we explain all of that, but we don't explain the music.
Right.
We don't explain where it came from. We don't explain the experience that person had and why the art form is expressing that time period and what these people went through. And we don't explain that.
Mm. Correct.
Then we're left with a moment of being in downtown Naperville at a stoplight with a corner full of black and brown people, and our white son is talking about his
I'm just saying
but the thing is, if you're having the conversations,
I'm still rolling up the windows even though I'm having
I don't give people grief about it. This is the difference between, so I think people think being woke, this whole word being woke, whatever.
I'm just saying, 5 minutes. We can't talk about
being
wokeness.
No. I'm not talking about being woke. I'm just saying, but people are, but mistake.
That's a whole other what the
mistake,
fuck show.
Mistake learning for shame.
Mm-hmm. They do.
People get shamed way easily. It's like, and you need,
room
you need to not,
fucking grow.
Right. You need to just take the fact that instead of telling me you have tons of black friends or you have a black nephew or your boyfriend or girlfriend's son or daughter is black, when I say, hey, you shouldn't do that.
Oh, as a defense.
Just take it. Take the information.
Right.
Don't reflect it as like, I'm not racist. I didn't say you were racist.
Right.
I said what you did was inappropriate. Mm-hmm. What you said was inappropriate. That's a huge thing.
What you're getting at, though, is if I was to full circle you, Stevenson.
full circle, Meeker.
If you go all the way back to what you were saying about, all the way back.
All the way back.
Respect, parenting, and the law.
Right.
To truly parent these teens respectfully.
It's It's hard now.
Well, never mind how goddamn hard.
I mean, that's
just a given.
But I'm sorry. Finish what you're saying.
Okay, let's just add to the challenge of it though with more Botox and bourbon because it is so hard. Because
that should be the name of the blooper reel: Botox and bourbon.
Botox. Yeah. Because it takes so much courage and stamina and strength to be so just to parent, but then to be so strong and vulnerable enough to go to your teen who's playing this music. And we have the job. We have the giant task of saying, you know what? Here's the origin of this. Here's how it applies to art. It's hard shit.
You know, but I think the first step, though, you said to bring it full circle.
You're taking me back to another first step.
No, okay. the full circle. No, it goes back to what I said. See, it also takes what I said previously when I said, you know, just take it. When our children say, your generation did this and it's bullshit, accept it for you. Accept your indifference and complacency in it. Because that's what I did with my son. I was like, you know what? I did this when I was younger and I shouldn't have. This was going on around me and I paid no attention to it. Well, so I didn't apply.
No, that's important.
And when you do, and
because
so
we do have to, there's a point where we say to the kids, no, I think it's fair to say to the children, honestly, this for me is a generational response. Right. And then have the conversation. Because to pretend that's not there is ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think we, instead of making it about what's going outside, like, you know, instead of saying, those cops shouldn't have done that. That government official shouldn't have done that. People shouldn't have done that back then. Except the fact that, you know what? I was young once, and it was during the 80s.
And I was
more concerned with MTV, and I was more concerned with getting a car, and I was not concerned with race relations. I was complacent to it. I was indifferent to it. I was part of the problem at the time, and I'm trying to change now. And when we show ourselves as fallible and the fact that we're stepping up, I think it makes us human to our children. Because I think sometimes we're not human to our kids. Mm-hmm. Like, we're moms and dads, but we're not human. Mm-hmm. We're not affected by things. We're not emotional because we try not to be affected by them because we're trying to protect them. But I think this is a conversation where, like you just said, we have to be vulnerable with them. Mm-hmm. We have to show them how all this is affecting me too. All of this is breaking my heart. All of this is making me angry. Mm-hmm. But let me help you. Let's help each other focus this anger in a different way. Let's make this into something that's more productive. Let's have this influence the conversation moving forward, mm-hmm. as opposed to just dwelling on the horrible things and the complacency and the indifference.
I like it.
That's I like it too. And
hey, Briggs.
I'm trying to absorb it all. I'm going to take it all in because that was a lot.
It's a lot.
To take in.
It is a lot. It's a lot.
And why aren't you my neighborhood preacher?
That's a whole other conversation. Wow.
So we need to just wrap it all up with maybe something that Chris Rock said. Like, I want all of my white friends to enjoy Dr. Dre. You just
really, Briggs?
Can't say the word.
You can't say the word.
You can't say the word. He said, is it okay for his white friend said, is it okay for us to say the word then if we're singing a lot? Because he's
this is the thing that you told
not
me.
Not really.
Kendrick is one of my favorite names, by the way.
Well, Kendrick brought that girl up, that white girl up on the stage to sing his song with him on the stage.
Why? Well,
why did
because it's sensational and it's all about the fuckery.
You know what, though? She was singing along to the song with Kendrick. She
knew
every lyric. She was spitting out the lyrics with him.
So,
the entire place went up in flames, like, lost their
shit. So, I think this is one of the hardest parent conversations, though. I want to know if you agree with this or not, because we obviously all come from our own lens. But I think the freedom of speech versus social responsibility is the hardest thing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think...
Say yes.
Yes.
Usually but it goes, when I but say, it goes back. Say yes, people are like, yes.
That was a well, yes. Because it's true. But there are conversations that can be had outside of it that affect both.
No, this is what the hard part is. It's the conversations about the two things. Because they both exist. The hardest thing right now is that things coexist.
If you don't know a language, it's really hard to learn the song in that language. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, I mean, if you love a song that's in Spanish or in German, or you normally know all the lyrics to, if we're going to do an 80s reference, you knew all the lyrics to 99 Red Balloons.
Okay.
Right? But you didn't know.
I thought we were going to say 99
Problems.
Was it Swedish or what was that?
It was
German
or Russian, yes. It was 99 Luftballons.
Yes, yes.
And you didn't even try to, but you knew what it was about. You knew what the song was about. You know what it was referencing to. But the little nuances of it, you didn't know.
You just mumbled
and it was difficult.
And, yeah.
But if you knew the language, mm-hmm. it was no problem.
Right.
What I'm saying is we need to learn the language of racism and its history and everything and have that conversation. And then the conversation as far as free speech and social responsibility will be a far easier lift.
Cheers to that one.
On that note, we got it.
We don't get a win, we get a challenge.
Okay.
Get a huge challenge. Thanks.
Thanks, Stevenson.
Here. Thanks so much. God damn it.
Check out our social media on Facebook and Instagram at Two Moms and a Mic. Subscribe to Two Moms and a Mic and download our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your podcast platform of choice. You may now check out our newly launched Two Moms and a Mic YouTube channel. Be sure to subscribe. All of our episodes are available to download at twomomsandamic.com.